ready to go. Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. I thought we let the song breathe. Because very rarely do we get enough Republica in our diet.
Is that who this is?
Yes.
Republica?
Republica.
Republica.
Yeah, I believe it's Republica.
Ready to go.
Anything other than this song, this little ditty?
They have some other songs.
Do they?
Yeah, I don't know if they're good.
Yeah,
but
I don't
they
know,
have right? other songs, yeah. Clearly.
Well, I mean, it's not clear to me. I've never heard of them at all.
Do you like the song, though? Is it snappy? Is it peppy?
Yeah, okay, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's why I picked it to lead into the show.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you who's not ready to go is the Broncos, because they're not playing.
No.
Right. With that, if you want to join us, you can do so on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Tuesday, 3-hour cycling center. Having an auction for crushers, van body trailers, ladders, racking, cabinets, tools, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is brought to you by Beyond Stem Cells. Grow young with us by going to beyondstemcellsdenver.com or call 1-833-720-STEM.
Sean Payton, he's done with OTAs. Gave the guys the day off. Now we will go straight into training camp later next month. Payton said, hey, this is more of a byproduct of what we've been seeing. He likes where they're at, yada, yada, yada. What I'm about to say, I don't necessarily believe, but if we're being fair about it, let's talk about it. Vic Fangio was skewered by some for ending training camp with a field day.
Mm.
Because the Broncos weren't expected to be a really good team, right? Why not have an extra day of a training camp? Why are you letting these guys, you know, have the balloon toss and the three-legged race and things like that? A dunk tank. So
a dunk tank.
Well, they did.
I know they did.
So
they had a damn dunk tank.
So for those
and popsicles.
So right. So for those that were skewering Vic Fangio, why isn't the same standard being held to Sean Payton? I'm not saying I believe it, but why isn't he being held to the same standard?
Well, he's not having a field day, first of all.
He's having nothing. And field day is nothing. Field day is at least team building, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're having a potato sack race with your teammates. That's very exciting.
It really is.
And nothing is more amusing than, I don't know, the belly, Quinn Miners, trying to literally strip himself down and butter himself to get into a potato sack.
Yeah.
Maybe just lather on a little bit more Crisco. You can get in there.
Yeah.
Shoehorn him in if you have to.
I don't worry about it, anything, to be really honest, in this regard. But I will say that I'm not concerned about missing a day in the second week of June, still 2 months or a month and a half out of the beginning of training camp. But I certainly respect someone's opinion that would disagree, because I understand the concept of, hey, anytime that you get together, especially with a young quarterback or a relatively inexperienced quarterback, is valuable.
Back in the day,
I certainly listened to that.
You had like 40 days of off-season
right.
training. Now you have like 10 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you skipping one for?
Yeah. I mean, that is certainly a legitimate question. It's not one that I worry about, but I get it if other people are.
Okay. With that,
that's fine.
Pro Football Focus listed the Broncos as the worst roster in football. Whether you believe it or not, It may not be the worst, but it's certainly not going to be top third. Okay. USA Today said Sean Payton, 16th best coach in the NFL. According to Jay Cornegay, friend of ours, sets the odds at Westgate Casino. Put out on Twitter, we're taking sharp money on the under for 5.5 wins. Outside of the development of Bo Nix, what is there to truly be excited for? Is it wins? What is it?
Well,
the development of Pat Surtain, what kind of contract he's going to get, what kind of contract Quinn Miners is going to get. What are we truly excited about here?
Bo Nix.
I said outside of Bo Nix.
Well, the answer is right now, not much. Other than,
is Javonte Williams going to return?
What kind of
progress will Jaleel McLaughlin have?
The only thing that could happen at this point is, do they catch a little early fire in a bottle or lightning in a bottle? With three games on the road in their first four, has anyone seen how this team has played on the road over the last few years? Last year.
How about basically right? We're going on a decade now.
Yeah, it hasn't been good. So, I mean, I got nothing else for you other than the development, other than answering the question, and this will be a redundant theme from me anyway, so maybe I need to work on new material. Do you have the quarterback of your present and future? Do you come away with an answer for that at the end of this season, which they have not had really for any time in the last 8 years? Yes, they traded for Russell Wilson, but there was no proof in the pudding for year one, which was disastrous. Year two was hopeful, but it didn't come to fruition. So we are still asking ourselves the same questions as we have been for really 8 or 9 years.
With what we are expecting out of the Broncos, and with the way soccer is constructed over in Europe.
They would be relegated.
They would not only be relegated, but I look at the Broncos this year, kind of like I do in the NBA. They would be in the G League, the developmental league. And that's what we have to look forward to. Who's going to develop? Will Vele be a guy?
You know, and sometimes that's just kind of where you are. And that to me, And Sean, of course, wants to win every game. And it's all about winning now. And I totally get that. My perspective is, okay, but what do you win with? I mean, do you really have enough to win with consistently? I think that that's a very challenging answer at this point. So you look for other things. And that's going to have to be enough for people this year. When you talk about, you know, Vele, and you talk about Estime, and you talk about Riley Moss, here's one thing that could excite you if you're a patient person.
Well, that's developmental league.
It is developmental, but there is nothing else.
No.
Right? I mean, you tell me, what else is there?
At first glance, do the Broncos have more playmakers on offense or defense? Quick answer. Give me a quick answer. Quick answer.
Defense.
I would agree.
Yes.
They have two playmakers on defense. Two. And one of them is not the guy that everybody thinks, because he's not a playmaker. He's a great player. He's the best player on the team. But Pat Surtain is not a playmaker.
No.
Jaquan McMillan is a playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
P.J. Locke is a playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
He makes plays. Pat Surtain is consistent. He's great. They don't throw at him a lot. But you are not expecting Pat Surtain, at least historically,
mm-hmm.
to make a key interception at a key time.
Right. And then they've got guys that, I mean, then you've got some guys like Baron Browning, and you've got guys that can make plays. They can make plays.
But they're not playmakers.
Dynamic playmakers. No.
No. No. Not at all. And for those that will say, well, no, the reason why that Pat Surtain, and he deserves all of the accolades that he gets.
He's earned every bit of it.
He does.
Right?
But you can't sell to me that Pat Surtain doesn't make a lot of plays because they don't throw at him. because I can give you a great example of a guy who didn't get thrown at a lot that made a lot of plays. And that was Champ Bailey. He picked off a ton of passes. He was rarely thrown at. But when he was, he made plays. Pat Surtain, no disrespect, is not a playmaker.
Hasn't been dynamic to this point.
But he's unbelievable as a player.
He is.
He's a top three corner
in the NFL, period.
At worst.
Right. At worst. Could be better than that. No question. Wouldn't trade him for anything at this particular point. So, anyway, and offensively, it's all based on prove it. Everything is based on prove it.
Right.
There isn't one position on that. Quinn Meinerz, you're good. Garrett Bowles.
No, he's really good.
Garrett Bowles.
He's not just good. He's really good.
Garrett Bowles is a good player.
Well, Quinn Meinerz is a top guard in the league in pass protection and run blocking. Right. He is great in both.
Absolutely.
You could make the case he is a top five guard in this league already.
But you don't necessarily want your starting right guard to be your best player on offense.
No.
You're glad that he's really good.
Yep.
But you'd like to have a few other guys in playmaking positions that can help you win. And we're not there yet. Are there some intriguing possibilities? You bet there are. There are. And I could see some things happen potentially this year.
Yep.
But we are a long way from that yet.
Right.
In my opinion.
I mean, Champ Bailey finished with 52 interceptions in his career.
Right.
In 2005, he had 8 picks. They were not thrown at him. They were not throwing at him at all. And, oh, by the way, if I remember correctly, they had a whole bunch of rookie cornerbacks back then in Dominique Foxworth and Darren Williams and Carl Pema. Of course you're going to throw at those guys.
Yeah.
He had 8 picks. 2006, he had 10.
Yeah.
Now, in Pat Surtain's rookie season, he had 4 picks, but then 2, then 1.
Yeah.
He's a great player. Great player. But
probably the best player they have.
Oh, yeah.
And not really close.
Right. Pat is also a guy who doesn't force a lot of fumbles either. No knock on him.
No.
He's just not built that way.
No. That wouldn't be his job description.
Correct. Coming up after the break, yardbarker.com talked about the quarterback battles. In training camp coming up, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, certainly one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Who will be watching that one? Actually, I'm more excited to hear what.
Did you hear Russ the other day? If you sat here long enough, you could have done it. You'd think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It every time he opens his mouth, it's like deja vu all over again.
Every time he opens his mouth, I want to throw up on my shirt because I've heard it.
So much so that you can almost do it word for word.
A good friend of mine, Andrew Stocky, who works at WTAE, he's been there for like 25 years. Yeah. He's their sports director.
Seen it all.
I said to him, listen, I know that you know who the offensive linemen are for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but every press conference you're going to be reminded.
You're going to be reminded who they are.
Of who the starting five are.
Yeah.
So coming up after the break, yardbarker.com wrote about the quarterback battle between Stidham and Nix. It's an interesting analysis. We'll tell you what they wrote next.
You're walking too far. I've spoken when I look at you. You're forgiven. You're lost. Don't want them. Drop dead.
Turn it up.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle. Presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Because you don't even know, I can make your hands clap.
Did they play this at Rockies games?
Yes.
Oh, this song is so annoying.
The main show on MLB Network, this is the intro song, too.
Yeah. I'll tell you what Ian Desmond said to me a long time ago. And Ian Desmond was not a particularly popular player with Rockies fans because he didn't play a lot.
Very intellectual. Very yes. smart guy.
Very smart guy. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't overly popular in that locker room.
No,
either.
He wasn't.
Yeah.
Nope.
But he brought up a really good point to me. And I don't want to violate, and I probably am a little bit, but he's gone. Because I agreed with what he said. Real quick, I want to let you know about Greenfields Pool and Sports Bar. This place has everything under one roof. If you love live music every Friday, Saturday, no cover. If you like to play pool, they just don't have one pool table. They have a pool hall, 15 pool leagues as well. Free pool every weekday.
Happy until hour.
5 p.m. Their happy hour is unbelievable. 3 until 7 every day. And 2 for $1 on all wine, well, and drafts.
So do they call it happy hours? Or weeks? They're always in a happy hour.
They are.
Fantastic.
And then you have a bowl of green chili and you're feeling pretty good. Yeah, so good. Greenfields Pool and Sports Bar, you can find them in Lakewood. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Castle Rock Men's Health and Castle Rock in Aurora. See why Eric only trusts his health with Dr. Lee at Castle Rock Men's Health.
I know I'm going off script here. We were going to talk about Russell Wilson, Justin Fields on the quarterback battle, but specifically Bo Nix and Jared Stidham. But I want to get into something Ian Desmond told me a long time ago. I liked Ian Desmond. Ian Desmond was a cerebral guy and a smart guy.
No question.
Not necessarily popular. Fans inside his own locker room. But what he said made sense. And it made me think of what he said because of that song. Because every time I heard that song at a Rockies game, it almost basically told the fans when to clap,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And he said to me, because he played in Washington, he played for some other franchises. He said, the one thing that bothers me about playing here at Coors Field is the fans don't know when to cheer for their own team. They have to be encouraged. They have to be told because they're not educated fans. And I'll be honest with you, he's right. He said, they have to be told through music or the PA announcer when to get excited. And that song sums it up perfectly. Doesn't it?
I guess so. Yeah. Right. Thank you. Well done.
I mean, is this really an educated fan base on baseball?
I don't know. It might be an educated fan base, but where are their loyalties? I would ask that question more than I would ask, do they know baseball? I just don't think, how many Rockies fans are there at Rockies games compared to fans of other teams, for instance?
I don't know if there are Rockies fans out there.
There are. But
there are more I love to be outside mm-hmm. fans. Well, and there just happens to be an open-air ballpark where I can get a drink and have a nice night in a very nice stadium.
You know, when you are, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this, for a guy that is...
You're a Red Sox fan.
Well, and I'm an in-the-weeds baseball fan, too.
Okay, right.
Right?
Yep.
If you've got a team that is irrelevant, and you have to figure out reasons to follow them, It's harder to stay locked in. It just is. I mean, the only time that I will pay attention as a fan now at a Rockies game is when Zeke Tovar's coming up. That's it. It's not like and if the Rockies happen to be competitive, great. That's fantastic. But I don't go expecting that. They're 20 games under 500 in the second week of June. 20 games under 500.
What I'm about to say is going to sound like a silly statement. If you had to rank the teams in order, all of our teams in town, in order of how popular they would be if they were all really good, all of them, are competing for a title.
Okay.
It would be Broncos, Rockies, Nuggets, Avalanche. You were not here for 2007.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, this town was electric. Well, now, granted, it was a once-in-a-generation run.
But baseball is right, and I get that and appreciate it. And I sensed it from afar. Believe me, I really did.
But let me just add something to this. The two biggest stories I've covered here, I believe, the two biggest stories I've covered here in the last 20 years was A, Tebow Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was the biggest story I've ever been around in my career.
Right.
Okay. But number two was that 2007 run.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm including two Super Bowl wins.
Right. The baseball is a totally different game to follow in terms of investment. And the investment, if you properly follow a team and are doing it every day, has to be more robust when you are following a team for 162 games. It's volume.
I can't even imagine if the Rockies were really good, what their attendance would look like.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. I mean, it would be phenomenal. If they were a team competing with the Dodgers, well, we've seen it. The year that they won, what, 92? And they ended up losing a, what was that, 18? 19, that was 19, right? 19, 18?
18.
18. It was 18. And they went to the very last game of the season. Could have won the division. Go check their attendance in 18. I know damn good and well they were probably top eight in Major League Baseball at that point. You invest so much with a baseball team that you really follow and that gives you a reason to be a fan. 162. Seventh in attendance that year. What was the number? 2.7?
They over 3 million total. They
over
averaged
37,233. That's over 3 million.
The Rockies started their run in 2007 on Sunday, September 16th. That's when their run began. The attendance against Florida was 19,000.
Yeah.
Then against the Dodgers, 23,000, 23,000, 26,000, 23,000. Then they went on a long road trip to San Diego and against the Dodgers. When they came home to Arizona to play the Diamondbacks, the attendance was 48,000, 47,000, 46,000.
Yeah. You give them a reason.
Because they showed the fans, we are on a roll.
Sure.
Those were playoff type of attendance numbers.
Absolutely. Historic.
Right.
Cool.
Totally different. Coming up after the break, it seems like when there's a big event, Peyton Manning always seems to be there. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's everybody's favorite guest.
He makes an event bigger by being there.
He does. So he was at Tom Brady's induction into the Patriots Hall of Fame. If you don't know the name Bill Burr, to me, there are the greatest comedians of all time, George Carlin, Richard Pryor, Chris Rock, Eddie Murphy. I love me some Jim Gaffigan. But Bill Burr is right up there. Boston-based comedian.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he was there last night, and it's as if he was doing a roast of a bunch of players with the Patriots, but Manning was there. So he took some shots at Manning. And with his sense of humor, you knew it was going to be hilarious, and it was even funnier than that. You'll hear it next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman on Tuesday. Three-hour recycling, having an auction for crushers, van body trailers, porticools, vending equipment, ladders, cabinets, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Roller Auctions. Get what you want at the price you want. Go to RollerAuction.com/MHS, and they'll send you notifications on their latest auctions.
Yesterday, Tom Brady got inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. Bill Burr, a hilarious comedian, was there to roast, not like the Tom Brady roast, but was there to roast a bunch of guys. Peyton Manning, not surprisingly, was there because he and Brady are very, very tight. And Bill Burr, knowing that Peyton Manning was in the audience, felt it was necessary to take a shot at Peyton Manning.
Get me. All right, next one up. Oh, the great Peyton Manning. Come on, what a class act coming out tonight. Keep it going for him. Come on. There you go. Unfortunately, this photo is proof that God does not love everybody. Some people he takes his time on. Other people he just kind of slaps them together. I think the angels are like, God, you realize that's a baby giraffe neck. You do realize that, right? And he was like, ah, don't worry. I'll just put him in the woods of Louisiana with all my other mistakes. I won't be playing New Orleans anytime soon.
With that, okay, but funny because he does. Well, actually, the longest neck I've ever seen was Merton Hanks.
Ah, good one.
Right?
Right.
But with that, Manning and Brady are forever going to be tied together. The first, to me, the first rivalry, I don't remember it because I was not alive. And I can't believe I'm saying this to you, Bruce. You were alive for this rivalry, but you don't remember it.
Okay.
Back in the day, the big rivalry in baseball was, who's the best center fielder in New York? Is it Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, or Duke Snyder?
Right.
Who's the best of the bunch? Fast forward a couple of decades. Magic and Bird, and now we have, even though they're not playing anymore, Brady and Manning. If you had to pick one rivalry, we're not going to go all the way back to Mantle and Mays. Which rivalry was better? Was it Manning Brady or Magic Bird?
Magic and Bird.
I mean, the difference is Magic and Bird had the opportunity to play in the finals.
Right. And both had plenty of success in that regard. They were matched against each other on numerous occasions.
In the finals.
Right. In the finals. So I would say that probably mano a mano, and that doesn't even count the 79 NCAA championship, right?
Correct.
I mean, we're talking Celtics, Lakers, but that started Michigan State, Indiana State.
Yep.
So so that one would probably, although it's interesting that you bring up, because you're right on target, the whole Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle thing.
Duke Snyder is a part of that because he played in Brooklyn.
Yeah, he was in.
And then you had the New York Giants and then the New York Yankees.
Right.
Who's the best center fielder in New York? But honestly, Mantle and Mays were probably the two best position players in baseball when they were in their heyday in the 50s.
And would be in the argument to this day about great, just great players.
But people would side towards Mays.
Yeah, I would.
When it comes to Magic and Bird,
Mantle only because he got injured.
Right. And he didn't take care of himself and went out way too late.
Right. But he still hit 600 home runs.
Correct.
Switch hitter. So.
Right. When it comes to Magic and Bird, I think more people would side with Magic, but by like 55% to 45%. It wouldn't be a huge gap.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, Magic would probably, he had the edge.
But how big is the gap if there is one, and I think there is, between Manning and Brady.
Well, there's a significant gap.
Because of Super Bowls.
Right. Absolutely.
But who is the better pure quarterback?
Manning. Yes. And that's no rub on Tom Brady.
No.
At all. You just asked the question, who's the better pure quarterback? Peyton Manning is the better pure quarterback, in my opinion.
But in all fairness, you can make the case that Brady had less to work with when he won Super Bowls. And you can make a significant case. He had a Hall of Famer in Marvin Harrison. Reggie Wayne was unbelievable. Stokely was an excellent slot receiver for him. Edgerrin James as a running back.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Who did Brady have that's even comparable to that? And that's with the Colts. Then come over to the Broncos. Demaryius Thomas was terrific. He turned around, all fairness, Julius Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, Julius Thomas had some minutes, didn't he?
Right.
Some moments, rather.
I mean, the best running back for Tom Brady was Corey Dillon. And that was for a short amount of time. He did play with Randy Moss, but for a snapshot.
Yeah.
He developed, just like Manning developed Julius Thomas. Would Rob Gronkowski have the same career without Manning? No. Edelman, certainly not. Welker, certainly not.
You know,
Welker, remember, he started with Miami.
And there's one other thing that I don't think gets talked enough because it's so easy to, and that's not true. People do talk about it, but it's rarely a source of comparison because neither one of them played it. Tom Brady always had world-class defenses.
No, he didn't. Early on, he did.
He had some
early on, they won two Super Bowls early because of his defense.
Yeah.
Before he had a chance to develop.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
That Tampa defense, the one that he won, that was a world-class defense.
No, that was, but we're going, like, feels
but
like
saying,
two decades.
I'm saying
like,
yes. he had, Bill Belichick generally had pretty damn good defenses. Pretty good defenses.
As far as offense goes,
mm-hmm.
Manning had better talent at his skill positions, but yet developed them to the highest potential.
And he certainly had them more consistently, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Brady developed just as well, but because of him, not because of great raw talent. He had Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
Period.
Reggie Wayne.
Right. What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
We'll discuss the main reason why Caitlin Clark was not selected for the U.S. Olympic team and who are the Vikings going with as their starting quarterback to open training camp next month. That's next on Morning Drive on Mile High Sports.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdler, at Eric Goodman on Tuesday, 3-Hour Recycling Center. Having an auction for crushers, van body trailers, porticools, vending equipment, ladders, racking, cabinets, tools, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. If you've never had authentic Cajun cuisine, if you have never been down in New Orleans, you can get a taste of New Orleans right here off of Market Street in Lodo. Talking about Nola Jane, want to bring in a good friend of mine, the executive chef and the owner of Nola Jane, Mike Goldman. Good morning, Goldie. How are you, my friend?
What's happening, brother? How are you?
Good. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Let's say, for the sake of argument, there was a big cooking competition down in the French Quarter, and they invited you to go down there. Give me two or three things on your menu that would stand up against any person who grew up in New Orleans and is a chef down there.
Oh, wow. wow, that is on the spot. All right, well, I can start with this. Our gumbo did go down there and won many years ago, before it was called Nola Jane, when we were under a different name. But same recipe, so our gumbo did win in New Orleans.
And how do you make the gumbo that makes it so great? I know it all starts with the roux.
That's right. We use a nice dark roux. It's more of a country-style gumbo, a little outside of the city. We use chicken and andouille sausage. It's pretty fabulous.
Okay, so now that we've gotten the app out of the way, although you can certainly eat it as a meal, I guess. I mean, I only get a cup of it because if I know I get a bowl, I'm not going to be able to eat anything else.
It's pretty big. Yep, that's true.
Okay, so now let's get into a couple of entrees.
All right, if we're going to win, I'm going to go with the big guns here. I'm going to bring out blackened catfish served over our dirty rice, and I'm going to smother it in our crawfish etouffee. That's going to win.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
And I've had it, and it's really, really good. All right, one more thing.
Ooh, okay. Well, you know, everyone has a good debris po' boy out there. I love our debris, but I think if I'm going to do something different, something funky, I'm going to bring out our soft shell crab po' boy.
Okay, and how is that made?
So we take two huge, beautiful soft shell crabs, dress the sandwich, of course, with lettuce, tomato, onions, and then we use a lemon garlic aioli along with a Fresno pepper jam that we make in house, and they're both awesome.
Okay, now let's get
a little sweet, a little spicy, all the works.
Let's get to the main drink down there. You honestly think that someone who has a real taste for really good food is going to pick a hurricane at Patty O'Brien's over yours?
Oh, definitely not. No. Ours is the way to go. I mean, you and I have talked about this in the past. Ours is, it's all fresh juice. It's another story. You know, it's the real deal. But you know, a real foodie, I think they're going to go to the whiskey world. So I think they're going to try one of our Sazeracs, one of our house specialties, and they're going to love it.
I don't even know what that is, but I'm certainly going to try it next time I go. Tell me about that.
So a Sazerac's made with Peychaud's Bitters, which is a New Orleans bitter. It's a rye or a bourbon, depending on how you want to do it. Basically just rolled around and misted with just a little bit of absinthe. It's actually the signature drink of New Orleans now.
Hmm. And so you've already won the gumbo competition. And with what you just described, you just won my personal competition.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried a lot of things there. I've not had the catfish. And you, Bruce, being a vegetarian, I think that's what you should get as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That would work for me.
Yes. Real quick.
I like your style.
Your rooftop deck, big party every summer, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So when you're up there, I love the view of Market Street. How many people can you get up there?
Oh, I think our rating up there is right around 95. I mean, you can put a lot of people up there.
Yeah.
Good party.
It's a big space. It's good fun.
So have a hurricane, a cup or a bowl of gumbo just to start, and then you just see where you go from there, right?
Mm.
Yes, sir.
My man, how do people find you?
NolaJaneDenver.com or 1435 Market Street.
Mike, have a great day, my man.
You too, guys. Thank you so much, as always.
See you back. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it.
Alrighty, guys, just in case you missed it, USA Basketball said experience was a major reason Caitlin Clark was not on the U.S. Women's Olympic roster. The selection committee didn't believe Clark had enough high-level reps to be a member of the group headed to the Paris Games. The team includes seven players from the group that won gold in Tokyo, and the selection committee chair even said there were other players that were harder to cut because they checked a lot more boxes than Clark did. Do you buy this, that lack of experience kept Caitlin Clark off the Olympic roster?
Well, there's no arguing she has lack of international experience. Is she a good basketball player? Is she as good as anyone on this team? Well, maybe not quite as good as everyone on this team, but then you add to it the fact that she's Caitlin Clark, probably the most recognized basketball player in the world in the women's game, and she leaves everyone else in the dust.
I agree with this 100% and more. And here's the reason why. Because these women have been playing together for a while.
Sure.
If you remember the Redeem Team, they eventually brought on Kobe Bryant.
The Redeem Team, that's right.
Okay. They played together at least two or three summers together. These ladies know each other well. They have played together.
Right.
And if you bring in Caitlin Clark, it's not going to diminish from your team. And yes, the marketing is great, but they're absolutely right. They have a team. They have been playing together for a long time. They have practiced together for a while. Bring in another player, no, she's not going to hurt the team. But for the women who have spent summer after summer or fall, whenever they practice together, they have worked together as a team. And what makes the international game great? Team basketball, not individual basketball. We saw in 1988 with Allen Iverson and a bunch of those college kids, not a lot of success because they were a bunch of individual players who came together last minute. And even within the last, I don't know, 20 years or so, the Americans were not winning gold consistently because these guys were not playing together and they were a bunch of individuals thrown together. I agree. And Rebecca Lobo, who I respect a lot, said the same exact thing. And that's our show. Brett, Alex, great job as always. Same with you, Bruce. I'll try and do better tomorrow. Make the best possible day you can.